What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and you know what's more American than America's 250th birthday? Supporting American-owned companies like SpinQuest, America's number one social casino with over 1,000 games like Live Dealer Blackjack and Craps. They're offering new users a $30 coin package for just $10. Go to SpinQuest.com and sign up today.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's showtime, folks. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your day so far. Chase McCabe in America's Music City. Big Joe is on assignment but with us today. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Chase, how's it going, buddy?
Hey, doing fantastic. Glad you could be here today. And Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos as well. Are you revealing where you are? You're out on a book tour or something?
I had a book tour, and I'm at Coachella, so okay. I had to do nice. One of those two things. But my Commodore 64, the camera's not working, so I'll be joined only by audio today.
You're just the big voice in the sky today. That's okay.
That's okay, buddy. You can always look up to me, and I'll say hi to you.
Well, I appreciate that. So we got a great show plan. Titans training camp, of course, underway. We got a game this week. I think I read that last Thursday was the final Thursday without football until like January or February.
Like mid-February. That's correct. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? It's a Hall of Fame game. Who is it? It's the Bears and the Texans?
Yep. So kind of interesting that the Texans are in it. Like, that's not a – I mean, sure, that's fine. But, you know, the Hall of Fame games, usually you have a lot of the historic older teams.
Well, they changed that because Andre Johnson's going in.
Yeah, and I agree. Look, I like it. I think it's cool that, you know, you
so do that. Unfortunately, the Titans will not be playing in that game for many, 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 many years, the Hall of Fame game, because there's nobody on the horizon right now for the Titans that we think is going to get in the Hall of Fame. There's a few that might be deserving, but nobody really, you know, that shoots out to us right now.
So was it 2009 they played in the Hall of Fame game because it was the anniversary of the AFL, so it was like the Bills and the Oilers, right?
Yeah, and that's when they inducted Ralph Wilson, I think. The Bills owner that went in.
And Bruce.
What I remember about that game was the great punt, fake punt that they did.
The what?
AJ, with A.J. Trapasso, the fake punt.
Yes.
And he ran it like into the end zone that nobody saw. That was kind of cool. But, yeah, that was a 2009, man. They also started that season out 0-6. So,
yeah,
they played the Hall of Fame game, did not give them any extra practice time or were they any good going into that season.
So, Hall of Fame, you know, a long way off from that. But a couple of quarterbacks got some Hall of Fame money, that's for sure. They got paid over the weekend, late Friday it came out. Tua gets a record franchise record four-year $212.4 million at an average of $53.1 million per year. He will rank third in the NFL in quarterbacks behind Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow. Wow. $167 million guaranteed, eighth amongst the quarterbacks. And then, not to be outdone, the Green Bay Packers signed Jordan Love to a four-year $220 million deal. $75 million signing bonus with him for that, and average about $55 million per year. So he then surpassed Tua with the contract, and that all happened within hours of each other. What do you think about both of those signings? My quick thought is both are overrated and both got overpaid.
Exactly. Let's go with Tua first. I saw where he'll make $53 million this coming year. Dan Marino in his entire career only made $51 million.
That's crazy.
So that puts it into kind of perspective. And then Jordan Love, I mean, he's only had, what, a season and a half that we've seen things out of him?
I mean, really,
but
half
a
season.
You, yeah, that shows you the premium on these quarterbacks and what they're getting paid and good for them. You know, I get this. People are complaining, all right? And here's my old argument, and I've told you this before. Jack Nicholson made $55 million for the Joker. All right, back in 1989. These guys getting paid, that's fine. They earned it. That's if you want to pay them. It doesn't affect my daily life going forward. But if they want to get paid and overpay these guys, that's great. So What is this setup now for Dak Prescott? I mean, he's got to be licking his chops now, right?
Well, and I'm looking even further down the pike. So, yeah, let's start with that. To me, Dak is getting $60 million at the very least. He's going to be right. the first $60 million quarterback. There is no doubt in my mind. It might be more than that because of what they may be forced into. Jerry Jones said over the weekend when he was asked about it that, you know, he anticipates Dak being a Cowboy for a long time, that they're going to get an extension done, all that stuff. I mean, what else are you going to say right now? I don't know because, I mean, this is truly like the last year of the contract, and then, you know, there's no tagging him. He's going free agent. He's going to be a free agent unless they get something signed. So I don't really know how that's going to turn out. I think Jerry Jones is kind of backed into a corner, but these two contracts do not help his cause at all because – I like Dak, but again, he's going to get overpaid for, you know, and I think we all have to blame, you know, Jim Haslam for this, you know, for what they paid Deshaun Watson. Now it reset the market, and you have all these owners having to overpay their quarterbacks just to be able to keep them. Look at the Giants with Daniel Jones and then the two that we saw over the weekend.
Yeah, and that's something else to, you know, then you're like, you know, Mahomes could easily go and say, you know what, I deserve, and he does, rightfully so, more money than all of them. And he's just like, he's doing the Brady thing where it's like, all right, I'm making my money, but I'm not going to get the most because I need money to get guys around
sure.
me, which is always great. Brady did that, which is fantastic. Peyton Manning did that too, which is fantastic. I just don't know, Chase, I just don't know. And I like Tua. He's an okay quarterback. I don't know what they're – are they seeing something we're not seeing in him? I don't get it.
They're seeing that they didn't have a choice, honestly. Like, I feel like both organizations were in the same boat of, like, we really don't have a choice here. Like, I'm sure there were discussions within a room somewhere at the Dolphins facility and the Packers facility of, yeah, we know these – you know, this guy isn't worth this, but we have no choice. Because if we don't pay him, somebody else will. That's unfortunately how it's going right now with the quarterback market. Now, could it – I don't ever see it coming back down. I mean, is it going to stop? But, I mean, don't you think one day we're going to be talking about a $75 million quarterback?
Oh, I think it does.
$100 million quarterback?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what it is now. That's what the price is on these quarterbacks. You know, it's the most important position in all of sports. You can argue all day long, this and that, but it is. But I just, you know, and Tua's comment, you know, he was very gracious about it and says, all right, now I'm going to be judged on what I do in the playoffs. And yeah, exactly right. And all these guys. So, you know, about Will Levis, he's got to be sitting there thinking, all right, if I put together two really good years,
we'll get to him.
They're going to have to pay me good money.
Let this sink in for you for a second. Jordan Love is now, what'd we say, the third highest paid quarterback on the list?
Yeah.
He's 9-9. That's his record. He's 9-9. He has a .500 record, and he's only played 18 games. He's played one full season and a game in his career and just got that contract for a quarterback.
That's amazing. The bonus gets me $75 million signing bonus.
I don't understand that. But again, what choice did they have? I mean, I guess they really didn't have a choice.
Yeah, that just shows you the premium of these quarterbacks. And so $75 million signing bonus, four-year, $220 million. But again, his comments are very gracious. It's like, I got pressure. There's pressure to starting quarterback, even more pressure now. And I don't mind it. I'm going to go out and perform. And so, I mean, I think the potential is there for all these guys, and which is fine. I mean, NBA guys are making $50, $60 million a year. Why can't quarterbacks? Yeah. Baseball players have been making a lot of money. It just, you know, you've got to produce on the field. That's how you ultimately be judged. But good for these guys getting paid, man. I don't fault them at all.
So, of these two, of Tua and Jordan Love, which contract do you think is going to age the best?
Jordan Love.
I do too.
I think he's got something that, what do they call it, that je ne sais quoi, that something you can't put your finger on. There's something there that's good, but you can't quite figure it out. But I think Love is the guy that's going to do this with his contract. And I just, you know, Tua, I've never been a fan of left-handed quarterbacks for the most part. I mean, Boomer was good. Steve Young was fantastic. But I don't know. We saw me just didn't look good when we saw him down in Miami. I don't know. But last year he led the NFL in passing. But I'm telling you what, if McDaniel loses that job chase in Miami, a new offense comes in, I think Tua is lost. Yeah. I think McDaniel's tailored that offense around him so well that he's got Tyreek Hill. I mean, you get a new coaching staff in there. If they don't get far in the playoffs or the season, then, man, you're stuck with him.
Yeah, I agree. And here's the other thing, too. And I heard Robbie and Rexroad discuss this towards the end of their show, going into our show. And I agree with it. And I feel like you're going to be on the same page here. You know, Jordan Love is the product of something that you don't see anymore. That is a first round pick that sat, that just sat behind Aaron Rodgers and then got his opportunity. And the Packers saw it work with Rodgers. Now they've seen it work with Love. And it's something that I don't understand why the rest of the NFL doesn't pay attention to that. I mean, you know, maybe we're seeing the benefits of Will Levis sitting half a season. It was half a season, but McNair barely played for 2 years before he got the job. Right. You know,
Rodgers didn't play for 2 years.
Aaron Rodgers didn't play for 2 years. I mean, the Vikings are saying that, you know, they're going to sit McCarthy and, you know, let him learn. But, I mean, they're probably going to be forced to play him within half a season. I just feel like that even though the money for these first-round picks, they got a wage scale, it's not quite like it used to be, but you got to let a guy learn a little bit. And I think that these teams that just suck it up, and now obviously the Packers had a good situation, and let the guy sit, it's beneficial because I think we're seeing the good Jordan Love. I think he's overrated, but he might prove that wrong, and like we both believe that this contract might age better than the Tua contract because he had that time to sit.
Yeah, but you know this, Chase. These owners, they don't want – you're paying money because the question becomes – hey, why is your guy sitting there? What are you paying him for? We paid him all this money. Get out there and play. Get this rookie out there and play. That's how it goes. I think they should sit for a year or two, and you see what happens when you learn. I think Rodgers might have set 3 years.
It was three. I think Jordan Love set 3 years. Yeah, he did. It was 3 years.
Five, six, and yeah. He set the COVID year. Jordan Love did. So Rodgers did too as well. I mean, Jordan Love did as well.
Or two. No, you know, Jordan Love was two.
You know, some quarterbacks you throw like a Marino and, you know, those great guys and a Manning and an Aikman. We talked about how bad their first seasons are and how they learn. But there's no – but I think these owners and GMs are impatient, and that's the problem now. And the fact that you get your guy out there – you know, but I'm telling you right now, Locker wasn't going to start. And then when Andrew Luck got drafted, he played that preseason game. And the next day it came out that Jake Locker was going to be the starting quarterback because he was going to – Matt Hasselbeck was going to be the starter in 2012. And it was like, I'm telling you, man, Bud saw that and said, I'm paying this guy this money, start him. And out of the blue, Jake Locker started. And Munchak did give no reason why. He's like, yeah, we're going to go with Jake right now, even though Jake had been outplayed by Hasselbeck in 2012. Owners don't, they're impatient. They want their guys, like Anthony Richardson should probably sit 2 years because he's going to be dynamic, I think, really good. And last year he was, before he got hurt. So I think the days of that are over, man.
I agree. 615-737-1025. That is our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So how does – you brought up Will Levis. How does this affect Titans quarterback Will Levis? What does he have to do to be in this conversation a couple of years from now? Joe and I will discuss that next. We'll get to a question of the day as well. Here on the Chasing Big Joe Show on this Monday, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. You never take advice. Chasing Big Joe, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Big Joe on assignment, Chase McCabe here, Dr. Crane here as well, discussing the quarterback contracts for Tua Tagovailoa and Jordan Love. What does this mean moving forward for Will Levis? Because, look, Joe, I don't think – like, if Will Levis does everything we hope he does, and that means he becomes a winning quarterback, the true starter for this league, for this team, there's no question whatsoever, Amy Adams Strunk and Rand Carthon in a couple of years are going to be forced to pay him. And then he's going to be right there in that conversation. I mean – right now, I want to say he wouldn't be better than Dak Prescott, but the way the market has been set, I mean, he'd have to be in this $55 to $60 million range, wouldn't he?
Well, he would, and these so this year is crucial. I don't know if they give him 2 years. I mean, they'll know Chase this year whether he's got or not. But if he could lead this team to a playoff run and go 10-7 or 11-6, I mean, then you got to. If he's the catalyst, the glue that holds his team together, he's going to get paid. Amy Adams is her father's daughter. Does that make sense? So the fact that she's got to pay somebody $55 million, I guarantee you she's probably having night sweats just because her dad didn't want to pay anybody. Same thing. So can you imagine if they pay somebody over $50 million, which they've never done? I mean, I'm telling you right now, I mean, plus you got that new stadium coming on. I mean, it could be the perfect storm for the Titans. They got a good quarterback. They got a good foundation. You're moving to a new stadium. It all sits up pretty well for this team. But the fact that the back of her mind, she's thinking, I got to pay this guy $55 million, which is, I'm going to laugh at this.
Yeah, but you know what, though? You hope that you have to. Like, she should be hoping that she has to. And I this is a Nashville sports comparison. But do you remember when the Predators matched that offer sheet for Shea Weber? Mm-hmm. And how big of a deal that was, and how changed everybody's view of this franchise. Like, you had free agents that didn't want to come here because they didn't think that the Predators were going to pay the money. And then they matched that contract for Shea Weber, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, they mean David Poile and the Predators mean business. Well, I kind of think that that's what needs to happen here. He's got to earn it, and yes, it's going to be an overpay. Everybody has to understand that. At this point, all quarterback contracts, except maybe a handful, are going to be overpays. That's the price of doing business. That's where the market is now, and you have to come to terms with that. But he's on a four-year contract. He doesn't have the fifth-year option because he's not a first-round pick. He was the first pick of the second round, so that's something to keep in mind. Tua and Jordan Love were first-round picks. And so they had a little wiggle room to work with. They didn't get to that point. But Will Levis, I mean, you got this year and next year. Like, this year you need to figure out if he's your guy. You should know by the end of this year, that Will Levis is who we can roll with. Well, then he has the year to say, hey, hold my beer, watch this, and then you got to pay him. I don't think it's after this year. I think it's 2 years. Then you got to pay him. But it could be. You never know. Like, it could, like, if he absolutely balls out this year and they're better than anybody thought they were going to be, and he gets them to the playoffs and his stats are through the roof, then if I'm his agent, then you're calling Amy Adams Strunk and Rand Carthon going, like, get the checkbook ready.
Yeah. I mean, so you have a year and a half under your belt and see what you can do. That's such a great thing. I mean, it's, you talk about the promise and the potential that he's got there. I mean, this is a critical. I mean, so I don't want to think about if he goes out there and he's terrible all year, then you got to reset everything else. What do you do then? You got to go out and find another quarterback and all that. It's so much easier on this franchise and this fan base and the management if Will Levis is above average. If he's above average, he's going to get paid. He's going to get paid very well, and that's what you got to see. But this year's critical. I mean, we talk about this year critical in so many ways in 2024. With new coaching staff, you know, the quarterback now, the future you've got going on there. There's a lot of things, moving parts that got to come together. If they do, this could be a decent team. I mean, nobody's expecting this team to do anything. 6 wins, what, 6.5 is the betting over under right now? So that's fine. Just go out there and nobody believes in us and go out there and play good football and, you know, win that first game versus the Bears. But if Levis can go out and be everything you want him to be, you got to pay him. But again, I bet there's some consternation over at St. Thomas Sports Park about the future and having to pay this. There's got to be, because that's the way it's always been with this franchise. I hope Will Levis has an outstanding year and they have to pay him.
A couple of texts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Feel free to weigh in, 615-737-1025. You can call as well. Chip from Mount Juliet says, agreed on Love and Tua. Big money for non-proven commodities, and I'm a Packer fan. The NFL is desperate for the next superstars, it appears. I think that's a really good point, because we all knew this day would come, that there would be no Brady and there'd be no Manning. Now, they have Mahomes. Mahomes is certainly fitting the part right now. He's got 3 Super Bowl wins. I would say Mahomes is definitely a superstar. Joe Burrow, they want to be, I think can be, but, you know, it really just depends on can they get there or not. I mean, and also he plays – now they paid him, but he plays for a franchise that's very similar to this one that they don't like to pay big contracts. So right. Are they willing to pay the – you know, they're going to have to pay Ja'Marr Chase. Are they going to pay T. Higgins and keep T. Higgins? I mean, that's going to be a big question because you're going to have to put the pieces around Joe Burrow. But I think Joe Burrow can be in that superstar category. But they don't – I mean, even Mahomes right now doesn't have the pull that like a Brady or a Manning had. Do you agree with that? Do you kind of feel that?
As far as what?
It's just like the – I don't know. I'm trying to – like, you saw Brady and Manning everywhere. Manning was hosting SNL. He was doing those skits. He was in commercials all over the place. Brady was in commercials and in pop culture and doing things, showing up on Family Guy, all of that. Now, Mahomes is, like, he's the State Farm commercial and things like that. But I just don't feel like, and maybe it's just his personality, that he doesn't have that reach like either one of those guys had, at least at this point.
Yeah, I could see that. And I think he's more focused on winning championships and being on commercials and doing all that, even though he still does the State Farm. And he might do one other thing too as well. But if you don't want to do it and you're making money, then, you know, that's fine. Then don't go out and do it. By the way, Peyton Manning on the Olympics the other night, God, he wasn't very awful. Good. Look, and I'm tired of seeing him putting himself in every damn event and TV show. Stay away. You're not as great as you think you are.
It's the network's asking him.
I know. He's off. He was awful the other night on the Olympics. So much that I was like, oh, my God.
You know what? So we'll talk about the Olympics because I've actually been watching and enjoying it. But there is something that I miss that I think NBC made a really, really big mistake. And they're never going to admit it. And it's not going to change. But I don't think I'm the only person that feels this way. And that is getting rid of Bob Costas. Bob Costas should be the host of the Olympics. I love Mike Tirico. I would rather hear Mike Tirico call basketball.
I'm with you.
And have Bob Costas host.
Yep.
Just me.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's funny because that was kind of my question of the day is about the Olympics was what's one sport in the Olympics that if you did, you would die?
What's what now?
One sport in the Olympics that if you got to be in one sport, that you would die trying, that you would not be able to complete it. I'm telling you, man, water polo, I would sink to the bottom in 20 seconds.
The 400-meter relay, I was watching – or the 400 meters, like not even the relay. I was watching that the other day, and I got tired watching it. Like I was like, how in the – like I'd be floating belly, you know, like – back up, like I'd be on my belly floating after one lap.
Well, the pool is 50 meters, so I think I could swim 150 meter, but if it's like, you know, the 400, you can do eight times down back, all that. I think I'd make one time down the pool, I would do what you did, I'd kick back the other way, I'd do the backstroke, and I'd sink to the bottom halfway through the second one. I'm telling you, man, water polo exhausts me. Yeah. There is no way. You could not pay me any amount of money to do that. I really think I would float to the bottom and die. There's no way.
Oh, man. Hair Metal Henry, it's Joe calling from prison. I thought I heard him in a cell just down the hall from me.
I am, yes. From one guy who's probably been in many jail cells.
Oh, man. we'll get to more of your texts, more of your calls on Will Levis. What this could mean, these two contracts in particular, Tua and Jordan Love, what they could mean in the future of Will Levis and also Dak Prescott. He's the next one on the list to get paid. We'll do that and much more. It's the Chasing Big Joe Show on a Monday, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Monday. Chasing Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. And hey, join Big Joe for our summer ticket tour presented by Green River Whiskey. They have two more stops left. Big Joe will be at Bourbon and Brews at 124 North Maple Street in Murfreesboro. this Thursday from 4 to 6. I'll have your chance to win free tickets to upcoming concerts in Nashville, including Bush, Train, Dierks Bentley, and more. You can also get signed up for the grand prize, tickets to a Preds home game, Sounds game, and the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/tour. Green River Distilling Company, Owensboro, Kentucky. Alcohol volume varies by product. Please drink responsibly. Discussing Will Levis and what could be next for him, given all these quarterback contracts that have been handed out, Tua gets his this weekend on Friday, $53.1 million per year, $167 million guaranteed of the $212.4 he received. Jordan Love then gets a contract, $55 million a year, 4 years, $220 million, a $75 million signing bonus. And look, it's not so much the money per year. It's that guaranteed money. How much guaranteed money are they going to get? Well, if Will Levis, going into now his first full year as a starter, has a good year this year, he's coming off half a season that, you know, on a bad team looked pretty good. If he answers the question of, is he the franchise quarterback for the Titans, then Amy Adams Strunk and Rand Carthon aren't really going to have a choice moving forward if they want to keep their guy. That's how I feel, at least.
Well, no, yeah, I mean, that's exactly. I mean, we could, you know, beat this point to death, but this is it. I mean, this is a critical year. They're not going to wait 2 years to figure out if he's the man or not. They'll know this year. I mean, if they go 5-12 and he's terrible, then they're moving on. It's that simple.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple. If you show some promise, then you can keep it there. Jordan Love, Tua, all those guys showed promise. I didn't know Tua led the NFL in yards passing last year, but that's a product of the offense that he's in. So if he can show promise and keep going forward, then I think he's in for a big deal. Now, if he's terrible, you know, but the best thing about it is we're going to watch it all play out in front of our faces through this season. But I think, Chase, they'll know in the first 4 to 5 games whether or not he's the future. It's just the way it is.
I mean, too.
It's going to happen.
And look, it does depend on this. One texter says, I don't think it's so much Will Levis as it is keeping him upright and safe in the pocket. Today's NFL quarterbacks, you don't have to be that good. My biggest concern is still the offensive line outside of the new coach hire. They really have upgraded the O-line. Taylor didn't even start the first half of the season his rookie year. I just don't see Will Levis being able to play every single game without getting hurt. I guess they really haven't upgraded the O-line. So
there's no excuse now. You got a better offensive line. You got a receiving core that's probably in the top, what, 5-6 teams in the league. I'll put those guys up against any other receivers in the league. And it all sets up. They've built around him really well. That's why the draft is still important. But free agency, man, is massively important. Look, those three receivers, Titans didn't draft them. They didn't draft them at all. And in fact, you throw Pollard in there for your big guns you got during free agency. So you surrounded him well. Now get out and get it done.
Yeah.
And somebody's commenting on the text line about Bob Costas hate. I don't see it, man. I'm with you.
I mean, our buddy Ricky texted me and said that he thinks Costas is overrated. I disagree, respectfully. And I like Tirico, but I think Bob Costas is one of the best.
Tirico and the Snoop Dogg thing was very awkward last night. He did a thing with John Mulaney. Tirico did, very awkward. I think Tirico is best at play-by-play. I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I liked. I don't know if you watched any of the basketball game of USA versus Serbia. Dawn Staley was in the studio with Tirico, which was pretty cool, giving her thoughts on the game and then talking about, you know, previewing the women's game, which I think is today.
Right.
Today or tomorrow, I think. But yeah, Team USA beat Serbia. Kevin Durant went ham, was crazy. But that was fun. That was fun to watch. I've watched the Olympics. I've been watching, like Saturday, I sat and I watched swimming, like the 100 meters and, you know, 400 meters and the relays and like that. I like the swimming. The swimming's fun. I think I like that more than the diving. Diving's cool, but watching, like, you know, Ledecky and like all that whole crew, that was fun. Water polo, I got tired while watching water polo. Sand volleyball, I think sand volleyball is awesome because I think it takes even more skill to do that than just regular volleyball because you don't have the footing. So
oh, yeah.
I watched that. gymnastics. Like, I don't get into the gymnastics as much, but, you know, Simone Biles, kind of watching her redemption tour, checking that out. So I've gotten into it this time around, and usually I don't, but for some reason I kind of gave it a bigger chance, and I've been entertained.
Well, it's good. It's a certain time now because football hasn't really started, and there's really not a lot going on. I'm not watching any baseball anyway, so it's perfect. But here's a gripe I got too, is, you know, watching Simone Biles and those gymnasts, and then, you know, they got to stick the landing. And to me, I know nothing about gymnastics. I can't even do a damn chin up. So I don't, when they make the landing and they hit it and they like step forward and, you know, readjust themselves and they take points away from that, that drives me crazy. They did so well on the uneven bars and the flipping and the flying, and they just judge so harshly on the landing. And I guess that's the way it's always been, but that just drives me crazy. And I've got no dog in the hunt, but it just drives me crazy.
You should see synchronized swimming. There was like 0.3 seconds somebody didn't hit the water the same time. It was just detailed.
What?
Yeah, Joe. There was, I guess, the Team China and Team USA were going up against each other, and they had synchronized swimming. And Team China, I guess, they did like a double flip, and the girl on the left hit the water before the girl on the right. But like to the naked eye, it looked like it was identical. Like they hit it at the same time. Well, it was like 0.3 seconds. They just put it down to a T, and they like docked the points. It was like 75.75 for the points. It was like crazy.
Holy cow!
Like the men's 800 meter free and freestyle is coming up here in just a few minutes. Like I'm gonna pass out watching that. Like 800 meters. My God,
I couldn't.
So when is track like next week?
I think so. I believe I saw on the schedule because I want to see Sha'Carri Richardson run.
Me too.
The 200, I believe, 200 meter. It's like August the 3rd.
Yeah,
it's
a Friday. So that's this weekend coming up this weekend. That's usually how they do it.
I like to see Chase, you go up the high dive, but hold your nose and drop straight down.
I could do that.
Do the pencil.
And wearing one of those 1920 bathing suits that the guys wore back then. Just jump straight off and go straight down.
I got another question about, and I know that we got some swimmers that listen to the show, so you can help me out with this. Because this question is completely coming from ignorance, but does shaving your whole body really do anything? Like, it's water.
I have been told this is a thing.
Like the men shave their back and their chests and their legs and arms, and like I barely got eyebrows and stuff. And I'm like, does that really do anything?
Great question.
Like what does that do? It's water. Like it's hair. Right. Hair is light. Like I don't understand how that really holds you back.
You know, when like
now you got me wanting some swimmer to look like Jason Kelce, who's just covered in hair, get in the pool and go back and from that. That's
well,
what
hey,
I
he's
want
he's there.
Is he?
Yeah, he and Kylie are there.
Okay, that's what I want. I want to see a swimmer like that who's just covered in hair and like, you know, a Sasquatch go back and forth. That's
but I mean,
what
like
I now you got me seeing that now.
They're showing them all right now, and like they have, you know, they put the swim cap on. Like, okay, but you know that I get that sort of. But like, other than that, nothing. And then you got Michael Phelps that's there now that looks like, you know, he's been at a fish concert for the last week.
I was gonna say he looks like he's in some kind of band. You know what's funny? I've tried this in the pool and I've almost drowned doing this too as well. You know when they hit the wall and they tap and they spin around and shoot back the other way?
Yeah,
I've tried that my entire life. I cannot do that. I cannot do that at all. I get so turned around that it's really kind of pathetic. I can't do it.
When I was younger, probably during like the 04 Olympics or something like that, whenever Phelps was at his peak, I tried to do that. And I almost drowned too because water just shot up my nose immediately. And I was coughing and like, what just happened?
I was never a big swimmer. I was forced to do swimming lessons, and the lady would put an airhead on the other side of the pool. I'm like, I'm not doing this. I walked out of the pool and just grabbed it.
Well, what's funny is I did swimming lessons when I was like 4, but I'm like, my friends that all have kids that are like a year old, they're already putting them in the water, like getting them used to it.
Good. They should.
Which is smart, like when you think about it, like, and they just kind of naturally, because I guess swimming, maybe not to the point of how they do it, but is one of those things that you you naturally kind of learn how to do because it's a survival thing that you instinctually know how to do. And so I guess we've determined over time that the earlier you have a kid in water doing that, the better swimmer they're going to be.
Yeah, I took my son when he was 3 years old. He knew how to swim at three. We took him to a friend of mine that's got a swim camp. And telling you, man, for those who know what I'm talking about, there's a swim camp in Mount Juliet. You take your kids there, and they ask you to leave because they're very hard on your kids. But it's about survival. And my son, after I think it was 8 lessons, knew how to turn on his back and float if something got bad. It's probably the best thing I ever did for my son, who's now 18, was taking him at 3 years old to give him swimming lessons. And the fact that I did not have to worry about, we go to a pool, if he went to a friend's house, he knew how to swim. He knew what happened if he got in trouble. And it was such a relief off my mind. They knew how to swim. So, yeah, I'm with you 100%. The earlier you get your kids learning how to swim, the better it'll be for them in the long run.
615-737-1025. All right, so what is our question of the day? We'll do that next.
What Olympic sport do you think if you tried, you'd probably die?
We got some answers already.
All right.
615-737-1025. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe on a Monday, 1025, 1063 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 1063, The Game on this Monday. 615-737-1025. That's our number. Our question of the day, what Olympic event do you feel like you would not fare well in? Patrick says, ha, sinking to the bottom in water polo. I would toss the javelin and throw it into someone in the stands or trip and fall and impale myself. it would be bad. Neil says, swam and played water polo in high school, grew up in California, some of the most in-shape athletes at the Olympics, guaranteed.
I'm telling you, man, I to do that and to tread water that long, there's just no way. God bless those guys and girls. There's no way I could do it.
Amy from Arkansas says, even as a lifelong horse girl, the equestrian cross country is terrifying. I was watching that yesterday after basketball, and I was like, how do they do this? Because they have all these jumps and they got to go through water and the terrain changes and all this stuff. And like the rider and the horse are just like, man, it's fine. It's easy.
Isn't that how, I might be wrong on this, but now Christopher Reeve got paralyzed. He was doing that and his horse stopped.
Yeah. I know it was something with a horse. I don't know if it was that.
And he
in
was
particular.
Thrown off. I don't know if it was equestrian or not. It was thrown off and then, he broke his neck. So, I mean, that's dangerous too. I couldn't do that either, man.
Well, so. Equine is horse, so it was something equestrian, but.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know what it was.
Didn't do it, man.
So are they. Ron just texted in about breakdancing. I've been hearing about this. So is this debuting this year?
I think so.
Yes.
Okay. I'm intrigued by that.
Eric Mason was all over it last
year. Oh, yeah. Joe, did you ever do any breakdancing back in the day?
I did. How do we. I mean, this is. Should be gold medal. I mean, gold, silver, and bronze for the USA. I mean, that's breakdancing was something else too. I couldn't do that either because you got spin on your head. I'd probably snap my neck that way too doing that. Plus, I can't get off the floor to do that. But
I'd get down, but I couldn't get. I wouldn't be able to get back up.
Yeah. So how do you? I would love. I want to see this because I don't know how you judge this because you know everybody there's got to be pretty damn good. So
right.
How do you judge who's the best?
I don't know. Or is it going to be like, you remember the Simpsons clip of, it was like the 84 Olympics and they show the swimmers and then there's like four that just are like paddling around, like not knowing what to do. Like, I feel like it would kind of be like that. And the commentators go, some countries don't have swimming pools, but.
Yeah, exactly. So the breakdancing thing, I don't know, man. It seems like a massive reach to make that an Olympic sport.
Flag football. Like the Americans, there should be no contest with flag football, especially if they let NFL players play. Like it should be by default. It should be the U.S. by a mile, then Canada, and then I don't know. I don't know who would get bronze.
Yeah. So, Dr. Crane, did you watch the rugby final?
He's cutting his update, so hang on.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I guess France won that, and I've got to tell you, man, some of the Titans should, the NFL should look at some of these dudes who are so fast and huge. Just like running down the field and scoring, whatever, how you judge, whatever rugby, however you judge points. But I was pretty fascinated by that because there were some big dudes who were up and down the field getting it done, man. That was fun to watch.
Yeah. By the way, I watched some of soccer on Saturday. U.S. defeated New Zealand 4-1. Shout out to Nashville SC's Walker Zimmerman scoring a goal for Team USA. So he's playing in the Olympics right now. I see. Oh, and you can help me with this, Dr. Crane. With the Euro and then what's the other one that just
Copa America?
Yeah, Copa. A lot of the international guys have gone back to their clubs and are not in the Olympics, right?
Correct. This is a U23 rule, so players under the age of 23 are the ones that are playing in the Olympics. But there's a certain rule where you're allowed to have three senior players on the team.
So Zim is a senior player.
He's one of those players that was elected.
That's cool. That's really cool. And he scores a goal. So now Nashville SC could use him. But it's cool to see him, you know, representing America and Nashville SC for Team USA.
Yeah, and that was emphasized a lot Friday at the BJ Callahan press conference.
Yeah.
So that was something else.
Joe was asking you while you were cutting your update if you watched the rugby.
I did. I watched it this morning, actually. The U.S. lost to France 31-14, the women's rugby sevens. I think rugby sevens is more entertaining than regular 11v11 rugby, just because.
So they do a 7-on-7?
They do.
That's pretty cool.
And it's a lot of field to cover, and they do scrums and the goal line dropouts. It's a blast.
So right now.
Did you watch, Dr. Crane, did you watch the France men, the French men?
I did. They won gold. How crazy was that?
Well, I was watching. There's one guy that scored. He went down the sideline, and they couldn't stop him. He looked like he's like 5'5", 300. And
Adrien Dupont. He's 5'9", 205, I think.
Huge. They couldn't stop him.
He'd be a great tight end in the NFL. I'm just putting that out there.
So when he scores, how many points? He actually tossed it about the 5-yard line to somebody else.
Yeah, so rugby sevens is a little different. Every time they score a try, which is a touchdown, it's 5 points, and then the extra point is 2 points. But as for rugby league, it's a 4-point try and a 2-point extra point. So it's just 1 point difference.
So they don't take a break. They just keep going down the field?
Yeah, it's six minutes on and off on the first half, and they have a 2-minute halftime and then another 6 minutes in the second half. And each game that's played is a 30-minute increment. So after that 30 minutes is up, the next game plays 2 minutes after that. It's phenomenal.
That's it? You're in and out in no time?
You're in and out. No time.
Oh, so when do they do the scrum? How does that all work? I'm sorry I'm so ignorant about rugby, but please explain to me.
That's fine. Yeah, a scrum basically happens when there's some sort of penalty or there's like, you know, two people are going after the ball and they have full possession. And so you're able to actually move. When the person falls on the ball, the opposing team's able to run at the person on the ground. So you can basically get possession of the ball. It's kind of like fighting for a fumble. And so
if you fall on the ground, you got the ball, I can land on top of you and start punching you?
Well, once the other person from that team lands on top of their teammate, they have like a guard, I guess. They kind of arch a guard over their body. And then after that, then the opposing team's able to kind of nudge that person off of them. And if you're able to, I guess, get possession of the ball, then the possession changes to your team, if that makes
sense. Sounds like some nightclubs I've been into. Good Lord.
Something like that.
Right.
Yes.
I thought a scrum was, you know, what Kaharski and Terry McCormick and Rex Rode all did in the locker room with the Titans players.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it's a form of it. Media scrub. Yeah.
Yep. Oh man.
Boy. Yeah, so, I don't want to go to a nightclub with Joe if that's the case.
It's entertaining.
Right.
That is for sure. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into the Titans in a few minutes, but the Olympics going on right now. I'm curious of how many people have been watching the Olympics and what sports that they have enjoyed. Like swimming's on right now, so I'm kind of, you know, paying attention to that while we do the show. I mean, there's a lot of intrigue with these Olympics. That is for sure.
Well, and they paid. I mean, it's just the sets and the camera, you know, for us, especially for me, you know, working in TV for so many years, I'm like, man, they probably had to start playing this 2 years ago with the cameras and the production facilities and everything going on at the same time. I mean, it is a daunting task. I was watching one of the things about one of the production trucks was running the cycling part of that. Production trucks for all the events. I mean, it is a controlled chaos. And I felt bad for the cyclists on Saturday. It was raining. They're all wiping out everywhere. Then I felt bad. One bicyclist wiped out, and then a guy was bringing her a bike. He slipped and fell and broke the pedal, and he hurt himself. I was like, good Lord, man. So
that,
many moving
parts. That looks
parts
like
and
us
pieces.
Going through Percy Warner Park.
That's why I'll not be asked to do that stuff. So I don't know. I just mesmerized by all of it. And, you know, if it's on, I'll watch because there's nothing else on right now. But I'm, you know, again, a few things that I enjoy. I mean, the gymnastics last night was really cool. The swimming is fantastic because we've got some Nashville people that are in there as well. So I'll keep watching for the next 2 weeks.
Johnny on our X account says, remember though, guys, they officially call it breaking, not break dancing. If you say break dancing, the quote unquote experts act all high and mighty and will get offended. Well, here's my response to the experts. If you became an expert on breaking, then I don't think you're doing much else exciting in life. So there you go.
It sounds like Chase when you go out and you cover, you know, don't say frisbee golf. My God, don't say it's disc golf.
Oh, right.
I had the mistake one time of seeing frisbee golf on TV, and I got phone calls left and right. I'm like, I didn't know. So it's disc golf. So if it's breaking instead of break dancing, well, then we know, and we'll make corrections going forward.
Dylan says, please no spoilers. Going to watch in prime time after I get off work. That is true. Because it's live right now because of the time difference. And so they're airing everything right now. And then they do like a montage at night for those that missed it. So I guess we do got to be careful of that.
Also, Scott Hansen is on the goal zone. They're calling it a goal zone on Peacock TV.
Oh, that's cool.
So I guess this is his preseason for NFL Red Zone.
Yeah. He's it.
So what, they just zip to him when somebody's getting ready to score or somebody scored? That'd be, oh my.
No,
how do you keep track of all that that's going on?
It's everything. Like, Scott Hansen's at the table, like, Red Zone as usual, but they have, like, different cutscenes to, like, fencing, to water polo,
yeah,
to handball.
That's pretty cool.
And he's like, oh, here's a gold medal alert. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Robert says, after the opening ceremony, I stopped watching. Ridiculous. Okay, well, you're glad you feel that way, Robert. We'll get back into that and the Titans. 615-737-1025, hour number two of the Chasing Big Joe show. Up next, 1025, 1063 The Game.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers. $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.